If you have your devotional books of study, we're on page 34. Page 34. You can take notes. You have a little paper that was given to you that you can take notes. This is not for you to draw while you're bored. It is for you to write what God is telling you this morning. Ask God to speak to you this morning. Say, God, what do you want to teach me this morning? What do you want me to do with what you are going to teach me this morning? That's what I want you to think about and ask God this morning. This week, we've heard about many tragedies. We see the evilness of humans. It makes us think of the care of God. We want God to take care of us. We want God to not let us go through anything bad. And even though it's a nice petition, it's something good to ask God. God doesn't care for us in that way, in the way that we want Him to. God is not going to protect us of the results from the results of sin. Many times He may not protect us from nature that is under the evilness of sin, which ends up producing these things in our lives, in our societies. The care of God doesn't mean that I'm not going to suffer anymore. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to suffer. The care of God goes way further than the physical. The first thing that God wants for your life is to save your soul. He wants to save you. Further than your body, there is a person, it's a soul that God has created, and God wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life, and that's the first thing He wants to do. Inevitably, we will all die physically, like we talked about this morning in our Sunday school. We're going to sleep. Our bodies will sleep. But we will be in the presence of the Lord when we give our life to Him. That is the plan God has. God wants to first give you the message and wants you to know Him first. In John 11:25, He said, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Note what it says. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. It sounds like a contradiction, but no. The death is not the end. If you believe in Christ, death is the beginning of eternal life. And Christ says, anyone who believes in me will live even though they die. God wants to take care of you, of your eternal destiny. And He asks her, do you believe this? And she says, yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. That should be our response to what God tells us to do, to believe in Him. Do you think you will have eternal life? Do you think God can save you this morning? If you believe that, then God is going to make that change in your life. And He takes care of us. Psalm 23:4-6 says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. When we go through that valley, eventually there's physical death. It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And here's the promise. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God takes care of you. And you have your place. And He's going to continue to take care of you as long as you're under His will, as long as your life parallels His will. In the passage of Paul went through the mission that God gave him, and it was not easy. And we know that eventually Paul died due to preaching the word of God. Eventually, Paul was killed by Nero, but God took care of him and took care of him until the plan that he had for his life went through. And I don't know if you've thought about your life and how God has taken care of you throughout the years, but I can think of at least three times that I almost lost my life. The first time, I was a child, and in our country, we don't have swimming pools, but when it rains, there's natural swimming pools, and when it rains. And so I thought I could jump into the swimming pool, if you could say that, a pond, and I didn't know how to swim. And you know, those areas like that are very deep. Some areas at the beginning, it's not so deep, but later on, as you go through, it gets deeper. And so I was in there and I was very desperate. I was kicking, but I didn't know how to swim, and I could see bad water through my eyes. And I just know that I stepped on someone else. I stepped on a friend of mine, and that person pulled me out walking. It was very possible that I could have stayed there, but God took care of me. And also, while I was married, my wife and I, there were moments where maybe our lives could have come to an end. We were going to go pick up my son in the mountains, lots of fog, and I could barely see a little bit, and I was thinking, this is it. I'm going to get off this road, and we're going to die. But we didn't. And another time, we were driving on the highway, and it was raining a lot, and I was not good at driving in the rain, and my car started swimming. It started lifting, and I didn't know how to drive that, so the only thing I could do was push the gas, and that was the worst thing that you can do. I pushed the gas as hard as I could, and that car started turning. It was turning and turning. It was turning and turning, and I thought, this is it. When the car was at this angle, I thought, oh no, a car's going to come and this is going to be it. But the car kept turning, and it turned all the way. And I was able to continue. The car came by, staring at us, saying, what did we just see? Honestly, I can tell you that we thought that was it. But later on, we understood that the family where we were at, they had been praying for us, for protection from God. And, you know, God has a plan for us, because if not, we probably would not have come out alive from it. God has a plan. God wants to fulfill his plan with us, and God has a plan for Paul, and we see how he takes care of him throughout. We see in this passage how God takes care of him and comforts him through the interrogation that he suffers and from being accused unjustly. And he teaches us how God takes care of us when we're interrogated, when we're accused because of our faith, and how God protects us and comforts us. Look at how he's interrogated on verses 24 through 29. 24 says that Paul was threatened. Verse 24 says, that they were ready to, that what they were using in Acts 22 on verse 24, they were beating him with the whip that was used, was a flagellum made of leather with lead pellets or pieces of bones tied to the tip, and these ripped off the skin of the tortured. So the moment they were going to torture him, Obviously, this man didn't understand. He was a Roman. He was, spoke Greek. He didn't understand what Paul had said. He wanted to understand what the problem was. And so at that moment, God takes care of Paul. And what does Paul do? In verse 25, he asks something. He says, is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty? Paul is asking a question. If it's right to punish a Roman citizen, and Paul knew it was not legal, it was a crime. And actually, he did tell it was a crime. And Paul was a Roman from birth. And he says, I am a Roman citizen. And the commander said, I had to pay a big price for my citizenship. And Paul says, but I was born a citizen. So if they were to punish him this way, then these men were also going to be punished because he was a Roman citizen. So Paul uses his rights as a Roman citizen. And first of all, he does it to demonstrate that Christianity, it is not a threat to Judaism. And in second place, he wants to defend himself against the Jews who were accusing him unjustly. And also, they knew that Jews were not going to judge him justly, so he would rather the Romans judge him than the Jews. And also, he gives him an opportunity to share the word of God to the Jews and to the Romans. As a Christian, maybe we're not going to be interrogated as Christians. But we know that in this country, there's a movement, very strong movement against Christians and what we believe. And that moment can come where we may be accused for our faith. And we need to understand that we have certain rights too. And we are able to exercise our rights, and it's not a bad thing. But when we exercise our rights, we should not use them to send a political message. The purpose of Paul is to share the Word of God. Paul was not interested in his rights because they were his rights, but he was interested in the opportunities to share the Word of God, and he uses his rights to do it. God takes care of him. But he doesn't do it through using what we think he may. He uses his rights as a citizen. Don't fear in using your rights. God has established the law to establish justice. God will take care of you always when you are under his will. God has given you knowledge, and you need to study and not just the Word of God, but also your rights, the laws where you live. And a lot of times, us as Christians, we don't, well, I don't want to say we're ignorant. That sounds too harsh. But sometimes we're accused of being people that are ignorant, that we don't know anything, that we just go with whatever's on our mind. But part of it is true because we don't try to know our rights, the Word of God, the Bible, and what God has sent us to do, to know the story. Paul knew the story. He studied other areas too. It's important for us to know science, theology, because a Christian that knows that can exercise his rights better and have maybe better opportunities to share the Word of God. One of my prayers is, God protect me, but help me to be wise in my walking with you, to not do anything without thinking, and to be careful with all that I do to take care of my body. You are sovereign over my life. Why? Because I believe God takes care of us and He protects us within the things that we do when it's under His will. Sometimes people want to test me, and what if I go and to the highest building and I want to throw myself? Is God going to protect me? No, God's not going to do that. You're doing it on purpose. God takes care of you. He takes care of you using your knowledge, what you know, being prudent, knowing that it's His will. And I believe that God protects you when it's within His will, while He is trying to accomplish His plan for your life. And He did that with Paul. While he was being interrogated, he was with him. So Paul was also accused. It says that the second day, what happens? He is let go by Claudius Lysias. So Claudius calls the chief priests, and Paul knows that God is taking care of him. And this is an opportunity to share the word of God. Look at verse 1. It says Paul was looking directly at the council. Remember, it's like that time when he was confronting the person that was possessed, and Paul has discernment. He can see the spiritual state of these people. As Christians, we need to be able to have that discernment as well. On verses 1 and 2, he says that I have a clear conscience. He says, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day. It's something that Paul says a lot in the Word of God. He says there was nothing in his life for what he felt bad or regretted, whether he had done it or not, had not done yet. But what happens when he says these words? Someone does not believe that. On verse 3, it says that the chief priest said, sent him to be struck. That's also a violation by the law. On Leviticus 19:25 says, do not pervert justice, do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. And this man, who was a priest, was being unjust. And Ananias, who was the priest, was named in this position by Herod Agrippa in the year 47 after Christ. Look what Paul says to him. On verse 3, he says, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck. So what is he talking about? So they would clean the areas where the dead were, and he's accusing him. It's something very interesting. This man was a hypocrite. He had ordered for the offerings of priests to be taken. He was Jew, but he supported the Romans. There was a rise that came up, and he hid, but he was found. So the prophecy of Paul had taken place. What happens? Paul then tells him, perhaps he did not know who the priest was. In verses 4 and 5, he says, I'm sorry. I apologize because I should not be talking this way to someone from the town. God protects, but we need to do things with spiritual discernment so that we are able to evaluate the spiritual life of others. But we need to be ready as well to accept and correct when we are failing. God protects us within these parameters. And sometimes we're very proud of saying, oh, God's going to protect us, without considering other things. Or we act in a disorderly way, and people are able to see it. Paul did not act this way. This type of attitude limits the possibilities of being able to testify the Word of God, and it also exposes us to be treated badly and suffer persecution. Paul not only tries to talk to them about the Word of God by first starting by talking about his life, but now he's also talking about the biblical doctrine. So there are two groups in the Bible. What we read, there's Pharisees, there's Sadducees. The Pharisees, Paul being one of them, they believed in resurrection. And he wants to talk about this, about the resurrection of Christ. He wants to start talking about Christ, that he died, but he resurrected and can give eternal life. But the Sadducees, they do not believe in resurrection. And they were very worldly people that did not believe in anything spiritual. They had political power in that time. And so there's a division that's created. There was a great uproar, and this is where the division came. And the Sadducees say, no, this cannot happen. We don't believe in the spiritual. Paul tries, but it doesn't happen. They don't believe in the Word of God. And here's where we also see the protection of God. See verse 10. What happens? It says the dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. This is serious. He ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. Close to the temple, there was a barrack, a fortress. It's a fortress, Antonia Fortress. There's the temple, as you can see, in the front of the fortress. And he's taken here to be protected. Paul is protected. So Paul knew that this was the plan of God to protect him, and so that his plan would be fulfilled. Many Christians think that God has to supernaturally protect them at all times. No, it doesn't happen that way. God also uses people, like the Romans in this case, like the law, like the military, like the police, to take care of us and protect us. It doesn't matter what our thought is about that, about them. Paul knew that the Romans were the most hated, but Paul allows to be protected from the Romans. God uses these kind of people that have authority to protect him. I think many have listened to the story of the man that was drowning, and a helicopter comes, and he says, hey, we're here to save you. And they throw him the rope so that they can save him. And the man says, no, I'm Christian. God is going to protect me. But he ends up drowning. And he comes to the presence of God, and he says, God, I'm very disappointed with you. I cannot believe that you let me drown. You didn't save me. And God says to him, I sent you help. I sent you a helicopter, but you didn't want to take it. That's our attitude. We want God to just rescue us from the biggest things, but God is using those mediums around us also to protect us. And Paul knows that. He knows that the plan of God is to protect him at the moment. God has a plan for his life. Look at verse 11. I love this one. it says that Paul not only has protected them, but he's using the Romans, but he's also comforted by Christ. It says on verse 11, the following night, the Lord stood near Paul. The Lord, Christ, he presented himself. He presented himself physically to Paul. In the book of Acts, he comes to Paul about six times. But this reminds me when Jesus Christ was in the Gethsemane garden, that he was in agony, crying. And what happened? Then an angel comes from heaven to give him strength to Jesus Christ. But in this case, it's Jesus Christ that appears to Paul and says, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." He brings him comfort. How must Paul have felt at this moment? He must have felt things were very bad. It was more than suffering. There's about 2 years in this process of interrogation and being judged. And then Christ comes to him and supports him. He gives him words of courage. God uses His Word to encourage us. He reminds us of His fidelity. God assures Paul that he is under His will and that he is going to fulfill that mission that God has given him to testify in Rome. What Christ does not do is this. He does not tell him, "I promise you will not suffer more. I promise that I will get you out of jail." He gives him courage to go through this difficult situation. God promises to protect you. He promises to console you. But you have to live under His will. You cannot live your way. A lot of times as Christians, we want God to take care of us and protect us, but I'm doing bad. Let me tell you that God doesn't promise that. God does not promise to take care of you and protect you under sin. He does it, yes, sure, because He has a plan for your life. But in reality, He doesn't guarantee that. But what I do know is that when you're under the will of God, God will protect you until you fulfill that will, that plan that He has for your life. Not all your decisions are going to be right, but God will take care of you. But what we should do is to be obedient in what God has called us to do. 2 Corinthians 1:3-9. The God who consoles us in all our tribulations, so that we are able to console others that are under tribulation. Paul did it. Paul was consoled while writing letters from prison. He was always feeling joy in God, and he was in jail. Because in the way that we have afflictions, God consoles us during that. If you're feeling tribulation, God will be there to console us. But you must believe the Word of God. It also says, that is the type of consolation that God gives to us. Y'all know that I have been having trouble with some things in my body, and this Thursday I went to the doctor. And in the conversation that I had with the doctor, I said, you know what, I worry a lot. And the doctor says, what are you worried about? He's a Vietnamese doctor. He's young. And he tells me, what do you worry about? What worries you? And I said, well, in reality, I explained to him what my stomach, my back, it's just my body. That's what I worry about. And he tells me, you know what? Well, I had that problem too. But a friend told me something. And he told me that what I was doing, I was stealing the joy. I didn't respond. I wish I could have said that I said, amen. The joy in God is my stronghold. And when I left the doctor, I stayed thinking about that. I thought, wow, God used this man, but I don't think he's a believer. I think he has a different religion. But he used him to tell me that I'm missing out on the joy of God because I'm thinking and worrying about the things of my body. God used a person like that to show me something. God constantly is going to bring people, like a Roman soldier, like a doctor, or anyone around you, to bring you that care. That is the design of God. The design of God is that we have people around us that will be taking care of us around in our lives as long as we're under the will of God. I want to share that we left California to come to Texas. We knew exactly, we had no doubt that this was the will of God. And I want to tell you that it's been some really difficult times for us. We've experienced many difficulties that we didn't have before. And we're under the will of God. And some of those things, I'm asking God, Lord, take it away. But God doesn't take them away. So God gives us a comfort during difficult times. God, Christ said in Luke 12:32, do not be afraid. He tells his disciples, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. God has promised us his kingdom. He says, don't worry about all these things. Me, I'm still learning. God will take care of you when you're interrogated because of your faith. God will protect you. He will comfort you at all times. God will take care of you. There's a hymn. It's a very old hymn that I remembered. It says, God will take care of you in your efforts and in your pain. God will take care of you. He lives under his immense love. God will take care of you. I will read it in English and Spanish.